Looks like Logan's going to be a future choir director there. That's some good hand motions going, Logan. Obviously, I know all of you weren't with us last week. The majority of you were, and you know all the ways that we were blessed. But for those who weren't, the theme of last week's camp was, it's all about the heart. And just kind of thinking about David being a man after God's own heart was kind of our theme. And one of the things I do not do with camp is I don't go up there with trying to work out every detail, because what would be the point of wasted energy, right? All right. So all of our leaders, which I thank you very much for being faithful, God, we all have the responsibility to hear from God, and no more so than at camp. And I told Gary and I told Miss Terry before camp started last week, a couple weeks ago, I said, actually I told Gary last Sunday morning, I said, the way we're going to do each thing is this. Each time we're together, each worship service, morning and night, we're together. I said, we're going to hear what God has for that moment, because God has something for that moment. So this morning, I want to know from our campers, adults, youth, and on down, what God has spoken to you during camp, since camp, and maybe what you think He might be speaking to you into the future. We had about 69 kids go, and that includes all the way down to the little ones. And Miss Jerry had plenty of little ones this summer for her to take care of them. Thank you for your faithfulness, Miss Jerry. It was a great job. Our kitchen crew, as always, did an outstanding job. You'll have to ask Artie. He had some special late-night cooking that he deep-fried some things that human beings probably shouldn't deep-fry and eat. All right? All right. We take about 100 people total, and it's a blessing. One of the gentlemen up there you saw holding the piece of paper, that's Johnny Hathaway. He's the director of Savannah Baptist Assembly. On December 31st of this year will be the last time he'll be director. He'll be moving on and retiring. He and his wife Beverly live there, and they'll be moving on. And on Tuesday night, we recognized him. Dusty gave him a little gift, and we prayed for them. And a testimony to faithfulness, Johnny Hathaway. Not a lot of glory in that kind of job. And it's a lot of work. So that was that gentleman right there. But this morning, I want to give all of you an opportunity to share something that God did in your life from this past week. So it's open mic time. Who wants to go first? Lisa? Lisa? Lisa, you can't leave. Got one.
I just got one thing to say. I missed it last year, but you can write me in. I won't miss it again.
David helped us with our games, and Holly's not here this morning, but Holly and Miss Terry did a great job with games this year. Very creative. They had the kids exercising their brains and their physical part, because one of the things that we worked on this year was, and you probably picked up on this, guys, is we worked on trying to impress upon you those memory verses a little bit more than we have in the past. And Miss Terry did a great job with that, and we appreciate that. All right, who's next? Who's next? Adults and youth? Forrest? Were you there? No. Oh, okay.
I just want to say, I mean, since I've been going to Sycamore, and I really praise you, the church, and I praise all of y'all, and I am very grateful and thankful, and I really feel the Lord's Spirit and love you all, and I definitely love the Lord. Later on, Dusty's going to let me have a testimony, but I just praise the Lord, and I thank you for all the miracles that the Lord has, I have seen that the Lord has done through me.
Thank you, Forrest. There with us. What a blessing. What a blessing. Who else wants to share? Who else wants to share? Luke's got to go play baseball. Have fun, Luke. Don't sweat too much, okay? For every picture you saw up there, there would probably be a dozen stories. So I'm just asking us to narrow it down this morning, what God did in our lives, how He touched us that week. Yeah, I know. They're talking to one another, but...
My camp week started with Ian Dorman, he's on another trip now already, but I think I'd been on campus maybe 5 minutes, maybe long, probably 15, 20 minutes. Went to the cabin and just kind of expecting the general easing into camp. And Ian just kind of started talking, and he was very transparent and very open and just kind of pouring out his heart in a five-minute conversation. And he carried that over into our group, and it wasn't anything we did. I mean, God showed up, and the kids responded. And for the adults in these kids' lives, I challenge you to get the heck out of the way, because they know what they're doing. And when God speaks to them, they respond, and they haven't tried, and I hope they never learn to cover it up or sit on it. And that's why the week was so awesome, because they came in expecting God to show up and being willing to respond. And I mean, I'll give you Wednesday afternoon. I got my swimming suit, and I was going to go down to the pool. I was getting ready to go change, and Stephanie called me over to one of the little areas we use for games. And from 3 o'clock p.m. until 3 a.m., I was either talking to an individual or a group of individuals about what God was saying to them, how much it meant to them. And one of the most two things that I'll never forget, I had one camper come to me, and he said, "I had forgotten that God loved me." And he said, I know that he loves me now." And that was in response to watching Cameron, is he here? Cameron just worship. He was in a room with 100 people, but he could have been in the room by himself, and he'd have been just fine. And the other thing that'll stick with me was Dane gave us the opportunity to serve communion, and it was too much. I mean, we went, you know, as everybody came through the line, just, you know, it was just too much. And then we went over to the kitchen crew and interrupted their political conversation, and that was too much, you know. But everybody that did anything, if you prayed or you sent drinks or toilet paper, we need toilet paper to have camp. Believe me. By Thursday morning, I'd unclogged two toilets for the middle school boys and taught one of them how to turn on the water, which was my son. So anyway, y'all don't hold back now. I need to hear it from y'all.
Hey, I'm Catherine Sellers. I was only able to go to camp first Sunday and Monday, but I think that was all in God's plan, because he showed me a lot in those 2 days, just about how I always have my plan. I'm a girl. It's what I do. I have my day planner. I write it down. And I like to be very organized, but God just kind of showed me that I need to let him take control of my life. I know that sounds so cliche, but it's true. I just needed to be reminded that I need to let God have his way in my life and just humble myself and let him have his way. He's got this. I just need to keep that in mind. So that's what God showed me this week.
This was my second year at camp, and last year when Dane and I talked about doing camp, I had every single second of every single day planned out in February. This year, but as it got closer and closer to camp, I realized it doesn't really matter what I have planned out for camp, that I just have to let it go. And Regina and I had been meeting together for camp stuff, like getting scripture and praying over the girls, and we had a couple of lessons planned out, but we didn't like have a lesson assigned to each day, but we just had them planned out. And 2 days before camp, Regina calls me, she's like, "Erase all those other lessons we're not doing, and we're gonna do something totally different." And we just went with the Spirit, like Dane said. Like every plan that we had made fell through. And that's one thing that's so great about our camp, is that you experience freedom in a different way. That, yes, we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and millions of snack times planned out, but you have freedom. And these kids use that freedom. they don't use the freedom. Like the first day or so, they might take a nap, but the guys know I will come wake you up. But these kids use this, their free time to pull a leader aside and talk to them about real life issues, things that they're struggling with, things that they can't talk to maybe their parents about, or they'll talk to each other about, but they need someone else that's had real life experience with them. And that's one thing I would encourage the adults to do, is to be more transparent, that you have lived your life and made mistakes or didn't make mistakes in certain areas, but it's something that God uses for these kids. I've made many of mistakes in my life, and that's one thing with the girls, like, I told them every mistake that I have made, and many of them came to me and be like, wow, you're not like this pedestal person that I've always thought you were, that I'm a real person. I've made mistakes. I've been where you are. My heart breaks for you. And I love you all. But it does. I mean, people, God puts people in your lives for a reason. He puts you together with certain people for a reason, so you can grow and so you can learn. And it's up to you to step up to the challenge and to use the people that God's put in your life. But that's one thing I would ask all the adults to do, is just to be real and to know that these kids are great kids, that all the parents in this room have done an excellent job with every single one of these kids. I've never seen teenagers like this, even as friends. I mean, when I was a teenager, like, they are so much more spiritually mature than I ever could have dreamt to be when I was their age. They know the word. They know the spirit. And that's one thing we teach here, is for us to live by the spirit and to go what the spirit tells us to do. And that's what they're doing. And I've learned more from you guys than I have from any adult. So thank you guys.
All right. Any of our younger ones? The other adults? Yes, choir director.
I'm Logan. What was it like? The week before camp, me and Joe went over to James and Stephanie's house to kind of pray about what God was telling us, and that God would kind of like speak to us about, as far as the, not just like the senior high boys, but the senior high as a whole and the whole camp as a whole, including the adults. And we kind of talked about like how, if y'all have ever been to camp, there's that Wednesday night feeling, and then there's that Sunday night feeling. And we prayed that like we could not switch those, but have like that Wednesday night feeling on Sunday night. And especially James talked about Ian Dorman, like he set the tone. And Sunday night was like Wednesday night. And by the time we got Wednesday night, it was like we'd been at camp, like worshiping for like 2 weeks. And it was awesome. Like, it was the first time, like me personally, like I've ever felt like so much prayer, that it wasn't just like an overnight thing. Like, there have been prayers and prayers and prayers like being felt over that place. Like, there was a peace that like we had talked about the whole week that we had never had at camp. Just, it was just kind of like this steady, just, wasn't like a spiritual roller coaster. And I think it was like Wednesday night was the first time like God directly like spoke to me. Like, it was awesome. Like, and it scared the crap out of me. I was telling, like, I was right near Joe, and I'd been struggling with like what genuine worship really was. And Jonathan had talked about worship that same day. And just kind of hit me. I was walking away, like, trying to blow my nose or something. And I nobody was around me, but I heard this whisper, like, Logan, like, three times. And, like, wake up. And I turned around, and, like, everybody was just, like, praising God. And that was my answer. Like, that's genuine worship. Like, there didn't have to be music. Just, like, praising God. It was awesome. Like, and I do have a Lumen Award to give out. Last one. Even though I'm not James Barnes, I'm still going to give out a Lumen Award. And this goes to Dane Moore, because it would not have been possible without Dane. And I'm not going to lie, when I was like 9 years old or 10 years old, whenever you took over camp, I was like, even as like a little kid, I was like, this is about to be a madhouse. Dane Moore is a camp director, but I just want you to know like how much we, especially the senior high, appreciate you and what you do. So here you go.
Thank you. Hey, Logan, I think one of those words was on your mother's list of can't say in church, especially. Thank y'all. More of you, what else do you want to say? You know, the thing about summer camp for those who have been up there many, many times, and that's only a few of us, is I still tell stories, not just the ones that where I almost got in trouble from years past, but where God did something in people's life. And they, all the way down to our youngest ones, will be telling stories about what they saw. Because one of the things I challenge me, and I challenge all of us up there this week, is I didn't feel we were there to learn about God. We were there to experience Him. Because the Christians I see in America, they sure do know a lot. But I don't see much difference in their lives. And so I would challenge us this morning. But what else do you have? What else do you have? And yes, we appreciate Big Jonathan Barnes coming up, taking care of James for us while he was up there. It was good to have him. Excellent to have him. We had a powerful testimony one night for the senior high that I'm sorry that we do not have recorded, and I hope that he'll share it. It's Corey Griffin shared with the senior high. Some of you know Corey, Katie's brother. Powerful testimony he shared with the senior high. And I know that one of the things that happens in life happened to me that night. It happens at summer camp, but it happens to our lives when we're waking up paying attention is God will ambush you. God will ambush you, won't He? So what else? We often talk a lot about using your gifts, and you're unique, but yet you're part of the body of Christ. And I think if you could see that at summer camp for what it really is, I mean, I see Jay with his middle school boys working from where he is in life. They're building litters, that's carrying people, and doing things that Jay means something to him, but it means something to those boys. And seeing Miss Sophia, Miss Stacy sitting with those little girls and just talking with them and seeing their laughter and seeing just all the people interact in a very special way. One night I was walking with one of our young men who is not a part of this congregation and who does not have the privilege of being nearby to come to this congregation. And he was making a comment about, and it had to be a God thing because I didn't talk to him about this. He was talking about, regardless of the size of the church, and he went on to say a few other comments, and he said, but there's something about this one, there's something about this one, there's something about this one. And I just looked at him, I said, family? He said, yeah, family. And so I think for the fact that you saw a lot of pictures of a lot of kids that are not a part of our congregation on Sunday morning, but they're part of our family. And they take this, I know wherever Cameron is this morning in Keisha and where the Roundtree girls are, I know that they're still talking about their time with us. I don't have a doubt. I do not have a doubt. Because they experience something. And if it goes beyond words, that's all the better, I think. Any more? I know there's plenty more. Oh, Molly.
Hi, I'm Molly Berland. I just want to say one thing. At camp, it was just so much love that was given to everybody from everybody. And it was just like this year was one of the best camp years I've ever had because of that. Yeah. And like the relationships that I've had with these girls and these guys have grown so much over the years. But this week it's grown like so much deeper. And I feel like they're legitimately my brothers and sisters. Like I could tell them anything, I could say anything to them, they'll like do anything for me, and I just love you guys so much. So yeah, that's all I want to say.
This is the honest to goodness truth. Last Sunday morning, Mr. Gary was leading us in worship, and he was going to do one of the camp songs. Was it Bless the Lord, Moma? May Jesus, was it Jesus My Hero? And Gary says, We need some people to dance. If you weren't here, you didn't know this. If you were here, maybe you'll remember it. And Gary says, Joe, come on down front. This Joe, who has never been with us his entire life, gets up and comes down front by himself. And I'm sitting back there going, oh, my Lord. He's coming to camp. This is going to ruin. I did. I really had these thoughts. Gary didn't do anything wrong because I'll explain why in just a moment. But I'm sitting there back there thinking, having those 30 seconds worth of thoughts like, oh, my Lord, this kid's coming to camp for the first time. He doesn't know us. This is it. It's over with. We don't have a shot with him. Mr. Gary wanted Joe to come down front. But this guy participated last week. He participated sight unseen. Other than what he had heard about us, maybe through Masako or others, he didn't know any of us. But when I saw that, God's honest truth, what I'm telling you. When I saw that, I thought, God, there's something you're going to do this week. Because if you can take somebody that doesn't know us, he gets up and he comes down there and he participates. And he willingly has a smile on his face. God, you're going to do something amazing. And that just really spoke to me. And I acknowledge his heart. He graduated high school this year. And he lives in Maryland. And I don't know how often he'll be with us. But that spoke to me. And I want you to know that. Your willingness to do that. And it's a good reminder for me also to check around. You never know who all might come down front when you yell somebody's name. So thank you, Joseph. Thank you. It was a blessing to have you. And his little brother Abraham was here. Tell you a quick funny story is his mom, who was at the Mannings last night, was telling us that his little brother, is he in third grade or fourth grade?
He's fourth grade this year.
Going into fourth grade. She saw him reading his Bible the other night after camp, and he was telling her he found his favorite part of the Bible. She said, what is that? It's the scripture says, and Joseph dies. Did you know that? Did you know she told it?
Yeah. Abraham
was actually, we were just sitting around the table and he randomly just goes out, and Joseph dies. I'm just sitting there, I look at him like, wait, what? And he says, and Joseph died.
It was. Thank you, Joe, for coming. Appreciate it. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
I actually had something to say. Ethan, he couldn't be here because he has to do something today. I guess he was helping my Uncle Craig work with something. He just wanted to say hi to everyone because, you know, wasn't able to be here and all that. And he wishes he could be here. But me personally, I'd like to say that even though this was my only year I could be a camper here, it was really good to get to know everyone and actually having this really joyful and best experience I've ever had in a long time, actually. Hopefully, I wish I could come back next year and maybe be a volunteer or helper or something. Just do something, maybe get to experience it more. And yeah, it's a really good time.
Abraham got a new Bible before camp. And seeing his excitement about reading it, before camp this year, I got to get through this. Anyway, I was dragging my feet, heels dug in. You know, if the stilettos could have got in any deeper, you know. But Dane knows, he asked me several weeks before camp if I could do the elementary boys. And I said, you know, I got a lot of things going. I don't know if I can. If you can find someone else, find someone else. And he looked, and he found Jonathan, but he assigned him someplace else. I think that happened several times. He found somebody. Ah, no, they're good over here, because I still got Don. You know, I still got him on the burn. Anyway, I was blessed beyond anything. And I had these little guys, and I don't really even see any of them here. There's one right there, DJ. But we had a pretty good time. But Abraham got this Bible, and it has fun facts in it. It's got maps in it. And, you know, some of the things we had talked about in our class, he went and he, you know, we talked about Jesus. And one of the questions that come up from these little guys, why did Jesus have to die? Why did he have to die? You know, God can do anything. Why did Jesus have to die? And so we looked up about sacrifices in the Old Testament, and we, you know, compared that to him being the ultimate sacrifice. And so we had talked about his temptation in the desert and all these things, and he finds on this map, it's got little highlights on it that says, this is where the desert was, where he was tempted. This is where, in Jerusalem, where he come in on the donkey, and this is where he was crucified, and all these little highlights. And he come up to me, and he's just so excited. This is what we talked about. And, you know, at night before, you know, when we all trying to settle down, he's in there. Actually, all the guys had their Bibles out, and, you know, first night out, can we have a story, bedtime story? And this just cracks me up, but Bailey Barnes goes, can we read the story about, what was it? It was Paul's charge to Timothy. Why, yes, we can. So, but it was just awesome. These guys they're leafing through their Bible and they're finding the passages that were the scriptures of the day. And they're reading the context. We read all of John 3 because they wanted to see what John 3:16 said. Matter of fact, DJ read it. And it was awesome, you know, the whole thing. Put it in the context of the Bible. And you'd gone through, Dana had gone through the after part of John 3:16, the words after. And, you know, these guys wanted to read that. And, you know, these are third, fourth, and fifth graders, and they're excited about the word. I'm almost 50 now, and I struggle to get any quiet time. Life goes on, you know, things. And they gave me the excitement to get in the Word again. You know, Abraham was reading, and that, you know, how you got the little title right before the story, you know, Jonah or whatever, the whale swallowed, you know, whatever the title is. And he's going, David escapes from Abraham or Absalom, his son. And he's going, He's asking me, why did he have to escape from his son? And I go, well, go back a little bit and read it. Why did he? You know, but he was just excited about it, and he didn't, you know. And, you know, I'm trying to tell him, do you know the story of Jonah? And he goes, no. I go, it's a short story. Read it. These guys are excited about it. And I encourage you to get excited about the story again. If you, you know, you may know by heart the story of Jonah. Go back and read it. There's more that you don't know.
Shangri-La is a mythical utopian place where it's permanently happy, you know. And I think, hello. All right. Would you like to say something?
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, and I thought, man, this place is like Shangri-La. You know, Shangri-La is a mythical place, but this is real. And it was happy, and it was safe, and I was just dumbfounded. Like, and I really, this year, out of all the years I haven't come, this year was just particularly peaceful, you know, and happy. And without turmoil, and it was Shangri-La. It was heaven on earth for a few days, and we look forward to it as a family. And if you don't go, and if you don't think you have something to offer, then you're selling yourself short, because it is a privilege to see you. These boys grow up, and to be able to play a small part in it is an honor and a privilege. And if you don't think you have something to offer, you're lying to yourself, because everybody has something to offer. Even those middle school boys, you know, I, you know, Dane knows I go into a training bubble about 6 months before. Not really, but maybe like 6 minutes before. But, you know, I, with the middle school boys, what I found that works is doing stuff with your hands. And we go out and we start fires and we chop wood and we're together, you know. And we do have some time in the Word, but just being with the boys is a privilege. So.
All the way I would ask all of us to be praying is something that I pray pretty much every Monday morning. We know God did a lot, and He did a lot more than we can see, right? Okay. Is that it would not be stolen. That weeds wouldn't come, the evil one wouldn't come, that it would find a place to produce 100-fold, not 30 or 60. Let's go all the way. And I would pray, I would ask you guys to be praying for all of us that was there, but even on Sunday mornings, that you would pray for that. Because when we walk out those doors, or when we leave whatever the address is, Honey Ridge Road, you know, Terry and I were talking about it Wednesday night. There were still things going on in the world that were not good. And so we do not want to see things stolen, killed, nor destroyed. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this is all about glorifying You in the end. Lord, it was from the beginning, and it always will be. God, it is awesome to be a part of praising You and worshiping You. Lord, I ask protection over us today. Lord, there are many who are not here. And God, I would pray that You would continue to guard what You did in their lives. Guard what You did in our lives, Father. Lord, thank You for a great view to see what God is doing and will do in people's lives. Father, I would pray that when we go from this place today, that, Lord, we would go and be in a mindset of worshiping You through the rest of the day. Lord, we worship You in a lot of ways. And Father, it is a privilege to do that. Thank You, Father. Thank You for all the testimonies that we heard. And Lord, I would pray that, Father, they would continue to be heard. Lord, that they would just be a natural outflow of what You did in our lives. And praise be to God. And You know, Lord, we don't have a lemon for You, but You are awesome. In Jesus' name, amen.